Good. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of music. Music plays a tremendous role in our lives, whether we want to admit it or not. And certainly I remember as a young boy growing up, and man, I remember when Elvis come on the scene. And I tell you something, Elvis is conservative in comparison to the garbage that is being put out in our music industry today. Being in a ninth grade substitute teacher, last year I guess it was, some of the teachers let the students listen to music. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I had someone that was gracious to me and knew I needed it, so they gave me a laptop. So I was sitting there at the desk doing my work, you know. Hey, you know, that's fine with me. I get paid to watch these kids. They do their work, I do my work. And one of them said, can we turn on the radio? And I said, okay. So they turned it on, and I went on back to my work. And after a while, I started listening to the words, and I said, whoa. I said, do y'all know what they're saying? And one of the girls says, oh, yeah. And I said, and I'm not even going to tell you what they're doing, but I said, that goes off. Do you know what? Even as Christians, we're getting to a place to where it's hard to tell what is biblical in music and what is unbiblical. Is that the word? As I said the other night, we don't have a TV. That's something the wife and I chose. If you've got one, that's fine. That's no problem with us. But we chose not to have one. One thing might be I'm a cheapskate, but another reason, when we had time to sit down and watch something, I didn't care to be solicited by all the commercials, and some of them, as someone said the other night, are so vulgar that the commercial should be R-rated. So we chose not to do that. But we had cable. Our daughter gave us cable 4 years ago maybe. And so for Christmas, and I don't know what, I'm not going to go there, okay? somebody gives me a gift, I'll take it, whatever day of the year it is. But the thing is that we had the TV, and so we still got it hooked up because we run our VCR and all that stuff through it. And we get what they call the angel channel. And I don't know about this, but this is deviating from my point or my lesson, is have you noticed how many women preachers there are today? There's becoming more women preachers than there are men preachers. But anyway, we was on one night, we had it turned on, and man, we saw this music. And I'm not kidding you. The music, the presentation of it was so ungodly. The girl that was singing, that was part of it, was dressed so provocatively. And I looked at Jen, and she looked at me, and I said, that's religious? Then I heard a word about Jesus, and I said, yeah, that's religious. But really, you know, I grew up, and I've become more like this, and I mentioned this the other night, that we can tell people what to do, okay? I was told a lot of things that was wrong and you don't do. But honestly, and I've seen kids that were raised in home schools and Christian schools and so forth, and they were never taught why. And I've seen kids that have grown up and left home, and when they got out from under mom and dad's thumb, they did not have the Word of God in their heart. They did not have the Scripture embedded into their heart and into their mind. And so when they got away from home, they didn't have to answer to mom and dad no more, so they did their own thing. They did their own thing because it was not their convictions. This was mom and dad's convictions. And so when they got away from mom and dad, the Word of God had not been implanted into their heart as to the reasons behind. And therefore, they got away from home, so they broke the rules. And one person that we're familiar with has tried drugs and who knows what else. And his life has been scarred because when he got out from under mom and dad's thumb, he did not have those instilled convictions of his own to answer to God. And parents, we need to do this. We need to, and our days are over as far as parents are concerned as raising them. But still, we need to not, should I say, cram it down their throat because it's your conviction. We should train them and teach them to where they, when they're no longer answering to us, they still answer to God. That's the thing that needs to be realized in our young people's lives. This is wrong, and you don't do it. But this is the reason, because God says thou shalt not, or God says you should. So this morning we're going to deal with the subject of music, guys. If you want to write down my main word, it's going to be music. And we're going to deal with it, music according to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about music? And if I were to ask you, how many of you can name at least three kinds of music in the Bible? I mean, I had never done that until I got this. I think I taught this at camp a few years ago. Now, we have to realize that there are music, there's a simple expression of music through just musicals. You know, I love to hear people play the piano. I love to hear good music. I mean, I enjoyed that. Someone gave us a video that is just "How Great Thou Art," and it's music, and then it's got all the beautiful scenery, and you just sit there, and it's just overwhelming as the music, just music, and all of this scenery that is exalting God, and that's, I enjoy that, and I enjoy good music. But then we have it to where it's a musical instrument, and then it's words that go with it. And then we have just a cappella, you know, where people sing a cappella. There's nothing wrong with that. You did that the other night. I like that. But did you realize that all of these forms and styles are found in the Bible? Every one of these forms of music is found in the Bible. Now, the thing is, and I want you to go, first of all, to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We're going to see military. There's music. It serves a military purpose, and that's Joshua, chapter 6, verse 13. And I'll give you some time to go there. I have it in my notes, so I'll be a little bit faster. But I want you to see this, because I think that I want to inject this. I taught on finances yesterday or day before. I deal with music this morning. When I go home, I love to teach doctrine, and I do teach doctrine. But I've learned that I enjoy teaching other things too. You know, I mean, I enjoy dealing with subjects like this because I think our people need the whole counsel of God. You know, I think they need all of that. They need to be fully indoctrinated from all perspectives, that they may not become hyper-Calvinist versus Arminianism. And I think I said this here a while back, we can raise the most doctrinally sound people in the world, but if their homes are splitting up, what have we got? And that's one of the things that's become devastating to our churches today, is that we got to be careful that we balance our appetite. Now, I love a good old hot dog, and I got to be careful with that, but I love a hot dog. In fact, on the way up here, I walked in and I saw these hot dogs going around. 2 for 99 cents, and man, I thought, oh man, And I looked over to my caring wife. She said, "Honey, you really don't need to do that." And so I didn't, but I enjoyed that. But hot dogs all the time is not good for you. And so the thing is, this morning, I want you to notice Joshua chapter 6. Now, I'm trusting you're there. It said, "And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets." Now, that's music of war, okay? This was a war music. Then we've got national patriotism in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 27 through 29. "Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies." Then we see in verse 28, "So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel." I call that music the national patriotism. I mean, these people were glorifying God. They were glad to be back home. But then we see the love songs. And Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon 1:1 says, "The songs of songs, which is Solomon's." Love songs. Man, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I love love songs. But notice also a wedding music, and I never known of this. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. It says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." And so our son, when he got married, our oldest son, he had it planned to where that when his wife, I guess when Kim came down the aisle, he had a microphone and he sang to her as she came down the aisle. Now, you talking about goosebumps going up a father and mother's back as the son, as he sang to his soon-to-be bride as she came down the aisle. And so that's in the Bible also. Then we see, in addition to that, we see folk songs in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We see funeral songs in Matthew chapter 9. Then we saw pagan song. We will see pagan music in Exodus chapter 32. And so music is spread throughout all the Bible. And the thing that we need to do as children of God is learn to differentiate between that which is biblical and that which is ungodly. Now, let me ask you, and I think as Brother Wilbert said, what is the purpose of music? What is the purpose of religious music? And let's face it, music has a lot to do with our conduct. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. So if you listen to music that is unpleasing to the Lord, what are you feeding to your heart? What goes in is going to come out. I don't know about you, but there have been times that when I've listened to the radio or I've heard a song, I would be singing it before I realized what I was even singing. And if I had known what I was thinking, it was a little melody, you know, the little jingle that just grabs a hold of you. And the next thing you know, here we are as a child of God singing things through lyrics that we would have no other time in our life ever thought of saying. But because it had a nice jingle and it had a nice footbeat, it was easy to grab a hold of. I want you to notice also, what kind of music honors the Lord? That's going to my first point. What kind of music honors the Lord? First, we need to understand that not all music is acceptable. It is unbiblical to think that all music pleases the Lord. Now, go back with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. When Moses and Joshua were coming down from Mount Sinai, the people of Israel were involved in horrible sin at the base of the mountain. Moses and Joshua had been on the mountain. They were up there. They were conversing with God, getting the laws of God. But they heard all of this commotion going on. And when they came down, they found the people worshiping an idol, the golden calf, and they were carrying on in pagan ritual. Now, I want you to notice something in the kind of music they were listening to, or what kind of music did Moses and Joshua hear. Look in Exodus chapter 17, or 32, verses 17 through 19. It says in verse 17, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." There's a noise of war in the camp. And he says, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them between the mounts. Now listen, Joshua knew instantly that the music he was hearing was not associated with worshiping Jehovah. He knew that. They was able to hear that. It was something different. It was some kind of music associated with pagan worship. Now listen, there's a lot of music and a lot of songs, and this is the thing I miss in so many of our good modern day songbooks. They've taken the good old God-honoring songs out of the songbooks, and by the way, Broadman, I believe, has got the copyrights on them, and they won't let no one else print them. I think Brother Milburn Cockrell learned that when he was trying to print the songbooks that he did. Man, I enjoy some of these old-time songs, like Give Me That Old-Time Religion. Amen. I mean, the songs that uplifted God and glorified the Jehovah Almighty. Listen, it's the same thing. Joshua said, "Wait a minute, that's not the war of battle. It's not the people being whipped up on. It's not them being victorious. It's a noise that I don't understand." And the noise was not a noise that was worshiping and lifting up and exalting Almighty God. Now let me state it's the same way today. There are certain types of music that are associated with pagan worship and outright rebellion against God. Now, I'm going to make an assumption, and I shouldn't, but surely no one in this church would dare let one of your children or you yourself listen to music that would be ungodly and would bring dishonor to Him, and that is strictly associated with paganism and Satanism and demonology. I don't know about y'all, what y'all think, but I think there are some music, there is music that literally attracts demons. And the thing is today is I've had parents, religious, Christian, church member parents, well, I trust my kids. And I know they wouldn't listen. Your kids are like my kids. They've got a depraved nature and they're subject to do anything that anybody else does. You as parents need to make sure that what your kids are listening to is that which is pleasing to the Lord. You've got that responsibility. Now again, the problem today is that many Christians in the past 20 or 30 years have gradually accepted the pagan and rebellious style of music as being acceptable for worship and edification. You've heard the old saying, and someone told me it's true, but if you take a frog and put him in a pan of hot water, he'll jump out. But if you take a frog and put him in a pan of cold water, he'll just sit there. And if you gradually, over time, turn up the heat, that frog will literally sit in that pan of water until he boils to death. And that's exactly what has happened in the realm of music, is that the devil in the last 20 to 30 years has broken down the difference between true God-honoring, God-exalting, worshipful songs with that which is unreligious and heathenistic, and we've broken down the barrier because it's been a very gradual thing. Music still plays a very important part in our worshiping of the Lord. Now again, some principles that we can learn from the book of Exodus in chapter 32. Moses and Joshua had been on the mountain having close fellowship and open discussion, if you would, with God. The people at the base of the mountain were not thinking of God who delivered them out of Egypt. They were, in fact, in the process of making of God of their own design. They were breaking the second commandment. And in their rebellion, they became involved with the world's gods and the world's music. Obviously, none of it was acceptable to Joshua and Moses that had been in close fellowship with God. Now listen, I don't know what y'all think about country music, but I tell you one thing, country music just ain't what it was 40 years ago. And I'm not going to get into the particulars, but let me just give you some things. God's Word is not silent when it comes to principles and evidences of biblical music, okay? It's not silent. If you want to know what the Bible says, go with me to Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And I'm going to give you time to turn there and read this because I want you to see that God's not silent on the kind of music. God is not deaf. When it comes to something that involves us and our worship and our service and our devotion and our separation to God, God is not silent. I heard a lot of, don't you listen to this, but it never was told to me why. The thing is this morning is that God is a jealous God and He wants us to worship Him and to adore Him. And when we sing, we need to be able to sing those things that are pleasing to Him. Look in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord." Notice, "because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel." And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Did you see that? They sang a song of exaltation to Almighty God because of what God had done for them. There's no way you can write a song that's any better, maybe as good as, but not any better than Amazing Grace. Amen. Oh, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 5 says, "Sing to the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." That sure is a long way from a lot of the religious music of today. Amen? It's come a long way, but it's gone in the wrong direction. Now let me see. Let me just give you some principles that we can look at. First of all, music should speak of God's holy character. Music should speak of God's holy character. Music should communicate who God is and what He is like. Who is God? What is He like? And then the focus is worshipful. The focus in worshipful music is to be God, of course. God is to be exalted in the words of a song. Second principle we see is the music itself is not to be exalted. Okay? Which one is exalted more? Our heart. You see, the music itself is not to be exalted. It is to be that which extenuates the words of exaltation to Almighty God. Okay? Now notice also, people come away loving the music and excited about the music rather than being focused on a sovereign, holy, and righteous God. Music should focus us on God, not on the music. Now again, music of worship in the Bible is designed to bring out a clear message about God's attributes and God's mighty works. Now the thing is that if a preacher were to stand up in the pulpit and all he did was a bunch of mumbo-jumbo foolishness, and then he walked out and said, and people said, "Boy, that was good." I mean, he spit, he sputtered, he hollered, he hooped and carried on, clapped his hands, jumped up and down. "Boy, that was a great message. I don't know what he said, but it was good." You see, the thing is this morning is that if we're not careful, music will do the very same thing. We are excited because of the music rather than excited about who our God is. Now, the thing is, music style should not distract from a clear message about God's character and God's works. Christians need to understand that the music is not to be exalted. The music is not to be exalted. God is. In order for that to happen, the message must be clear and the music must help the one worshiping to focus on God and not on himself or herself. If the music gets you all excited and all worked up in the flesh, where's the worship in that? Where is the worship in that? Now again, let me give you another one. Music style is not what is being worshipped. It is God that is to be worshipped. If the music style gets you all worked up about yourself, your flesh, your good feelings, your body, you, it's self-worship and not God-worship. It's self-worship. So when we stand here, and man, what was a song that Miss Doris Suter and Audrey Rose used to sing of back years ago? It's been 50 years ago, I guess. But man, they could sing. And these older people, their voices were not all that excellent. But the way they sang, the music touched your heart and made you stop to think about God and how great it was. Again, the world's music style is aimed at fulfilling the things of the flesh and worshiping the things of the world and the flesh. But the music style is not what is to be worshipped. It is God. Now again, here's another thing. Here lies the problem with much of today's contemporary Christian music. And I don't know about y'all, but when I go down the highways and I say two services, 9 o'clock contemporary, 10 o'clock regular, What's the difference? Shouldn't we just have one service that serves God, glorifies God, exalts God? Instead of trying to please this group versus that group, we should be in the purpose, or should be, I don't want to use the word business, but our purpose and objective should be that we would please God. Now notice also, again, here lies the problem with much of today's contemporary Christian music. God is not first. God is not first. The fact is that with much of the modern Christian music, it is the music and the man that are put first. The music and the man are put first. A real evidence of that is seen in how popular Christian pop music has become, even in the secular world. Now listen, one would think with this increase in popularity that the churches of the United States would be bursting at the seams with people wanting to hear about the God of the Bible, but that's not happening. The music is a secular music that's promoting the music and the singer rather than promoting God, and yet when you take those people that love to hear that music, they don't care anything about hearing God. They want to hear the music. And so the thing is again, if God were truly the focus in much of the modern Christian music, it would be as popular as the Bible is, as popular as straightforward biblical preaching has always been. But this modern, contemporary Christian so-called music is not pointing people to God. It's pointing people to a singer, a guitar, and don't misunderstand me, nothing wrong with that, but it's pointing people to things rather than to God. Now again, boy, we're going to get through early. Isn't that nice? I want you to notice and see the point here. The fact is, our society is running from God, and yet society is saying, I like this Christian music. And we turned on the TV and saw this channel. I mean, it was some of the most ungodly movements I've ever seen on the TV. And yet, every now and then they would throw the word Jesus in. The audience was standing out there, jumping up and down, and I thought, this is what's being portrayed as religious music today. No wonder our young people have got a skin-deep religion, and that's why they have Jesus on their tongue and know nothing about Jesus within their heart. Music is playing a significant role in the lives of our people, not just young people. It is older people. And if we're not careful, because we like music, we will permit lyrics to go into our mind, and we will think about it, and we will wonder about it, and next thing you know, we're putting it into actions. Now notice also, again, something is wrong with this thinking. What's wrong is that people believe most of today's Christian music has a clear biblical message about who God is and what great wonders He has done. Christian rock and much of the modern contemporary Christian music has a music style that distracts from a clear message of God. It does not point people to God. It points people to a noise, emotions, and has nothing to do with portraying the greatness of Jehovah. That's why many unbelievers can enjoy this modern day religious music, because it connects with their flesh. Again, when I preach from the pulpit about sin, God's wrath, future judgment, hell, and yes, even God's love within the context, unbelievers are not happy about this. But yet it's the same people that are getting the message of music, and they call themselves religious. And I believe, as Brother Wilbert preached last night, many will say to me in that day, and I believe the music of today and the easy believism of today is pointing a lot of our young people to a road of religion that is going to lead them straight to hell. Music, and I'm going to conclude, music should be that which honors and exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to see that the Bible has a lot to say about music, both good and bad. God's Word establishes the principles and teachings that we need to apply to the things that we call music. That's why even on TV, and that's why even in music, if a lot of the kids today were to say a word that they hear in songs, I would have got my mouth washed out with soap. But because it's music, they're permitted to listen to it, and parents don't want to hurt their feelings. Listen, it's better to hurt a child's bottom than to destroy their life through the lyrics of this modern-day so-called religious music. Now listen, the devil also realizes that music has a powerful influence on people's lives, the way they act, and the things that are permitted to be brought into their minds. We need to be careful. As Brother Fayard said the other night, he's got his computer, he's got the highest level of security on it, and we do too. I don't want that stuff coming in on our screen. And the thing is, we got a phone call from our daughter, 4 years ago, and she said, "I am so mad." Said someone sent an email. She opened it, and there comes all of these pictures, one right after the other. She said, "I want to throw the thing down the steps. What can I do?" You know what? We protect our computers. We need to protect our ears. Because all music is not pleasing to God. All music does not exalt the Lord. And I'm not saying that everything I listen to is gospel. I love to hear harps. I love to hear music that's just pleasant to listening. But even then, I want to make sure that what I listen to is not putting garbage in my head, okay? We need to be careful. So again, so much of so-called religious music of today is more than ungodly music with godly words. May God help us to be sensitive to the things that we permit to enter into our thoughts, our minds, because our thoughts that goes into our minds will before long become our conduct. We need to be careful with what we listen to. We need to be careful because music plays a very important part of how we do or do not walk in the ways of the Lord.